Blog Talk Radio.
No matter what the effort, letting our kids take the wheel on occasion does not always come cheap. Trusting Mr. Know-It-All new boyfriend on the first date? Guess not. We stay confident and watch as they grow into responsible adults, doing only what they think is best. But doing what we do best makes us proud to be a part of fixing it. For a wide range of quality tools and products guaranteed nationally, you always find there's more to Midas.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonifia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is Sunday, January 30th, 2022, the last Sunday in the first month of this new year. We will be breaking the silence tonight by being a voice against gun violence. We will look at the whys, the wheres, the whos, the whats, the whens, and the hows. As we dive deep tonight into these issues of gun violence, we will speak with activists, community organizations, victims of gun violence and their families, political leaders, parents, the community. We want to hear from all of you because gun violence affects us all as a whole in each and every community that experiences it. We will also take a look at 2021's top five states that had the most deaths by gun violence in 2021. And we will take a look at the top five for this year that has the most gun violence deaths in 2022. And we're only in the 30th day of the year. I have to keep reiterating that because this gun violence is out of control and it's time out for silence. It's time to attack gun violence. Ways to curb the gun violence in the major inner cities that are mainly affected by gun violence. We will look at the top five inner cities that had the most homicides due to gun violence in 2021. We will look at the top five so far for this year of 2022, because we are only now 30 days into the new year and we already have over 3,000 homicides due to gun violence in this country. Something must be done, and something must be done quick, because over the years, there have been too many young lives lost to this senseless act of gun violence. So tonight, we will attack gun violence and stop the silence. Joining me tonight will be Jamal Johnson, SKU, a disabled United States Marine veteran and the founder of SKU Campaign and Intergenerational Movement. And the acronym for SKU is Stop Killing Us. Because what we're talking about tonight is black on black crime. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, right the wrong coalition and be a voice to use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated and juvenile lifers, as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, senseless gun violence, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. You may also donate via Venmo. The Venmo account is at Be a Voice. That's at capital BEAVOICE. Be a Voice. Donate today. Don't delay. Be a Voice could use your support. Would you like to be a guest on News Forum? Do you have a story to tell built around injustices in America? Then definitely give me a call Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. at 844-642-8378, extension 888. We're only 30 days into the new year, and already across this country, homicide totals due to gun violence are over 3,300. Stop killing us. News Forum is a syndicated radio program with over 12.7 million listeners worldwide. News Forum airs every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. News Forum is brought to you by the ONE Network and Looking Glass Entertainment. Investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor of News Forum. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and you would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, just press 1 and you will be placed in the caller queue. And remember, be patient. We will do our best to get to you. To reach Chinchilla after the show, you may call her at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, her number, 844-642-8378, extension 888, Monday through Friday, 11 a.m. until 7 p.m. Eastern Time. So now, sit back, relax, and enjoy the show as we take you to the live scheduled broadcast of News Forum with Chinchilla J. And here she is, host and anchor of News Forum, Chinchilla J. Good evening, everybody. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J, and welcome to News Forum this evening. This is the last Sunday in the month of January, this first month of the year. It's January 30th, and, you know, the rate of gun violence, it's constantly increasing. We now, as a country, we are over where we were last year during this time. It's so very sad. When I created the promo for today or the intro for the show, we were at 3,300, I think it was like 3,347, something like that, for homicide deaths, I mean gun deaths by, you know, gun deaths. Now, that's gone up. And, you know, this was just the other day and earlier. And now, guess where we are? I mean, this is so ridiculous. It's just really heartening. It's disturbing and everything. It's crazy. So right now, well, yesterday there were 3,300. Now we're at 3,451 gun violence deaths. And it's just so very sad. And what we also have to look at is like the deaths by gun violence or gun deaths, whatever, you know, someone dies by a gun. Some gun deaths are intentional, some are accidental. And of course, there's so many that are dying because of these stray bullets, like the children that are dying across this country. And then we have suicides, people that commit suicides by a gun. They kill themselves. So I want to give you some statistics really quickly. So the total number of gun violence deaths so far as of right now across the country, 3,451. And, you know, this is really crazy. Homicides, 1,471. And that could be murder, unintentional, you know, either or. But they're homicides, 1,471. Suicides, 1,980 suicides. You know, and that's just really ridiculous. It's so crazy. Here in the city of Philadelphia, geez, as of yesterday, we were at, I think it was 41 deaths. You know, it's only the 30th day of the year, okay? The 30th day of the year, and there's so many cities across this country already that have over 30 deaths due to gun violence. You know, it's Philadelphia, it's Chicago, Columbus, Ohio, and so many other, you know, it's just, oh my God, it just makes me sick to my stomach to know that this is constantly going on. And then when we take into consideration the fact that the government, the federal government, as well as state governments and city governments, they're giving money to organizations to combat gun violence. Now, we've seen like major nonprofit organizations receiving money. And, okay, they're receiving money because they, you know, people know them. But are they really doing anything to stop the gun violence? No, they're not. And then we have other organizations, some grassroots organizations that have received monies in different inner cities. And, you know, those boots on the ground organizations, those organizations that are out there actually trying to make a difference, trying to stop the gun violence in their communities. And then we have men in some cities that are taking it to the streets. They are going around patrolling their streets. And, you know, there are all kinds of ways and things we can do that some people are not even bothering to do some of the things because they think, oh, well, that's useless. It's pointless. At this point, people, there is nothing useless. There is nothing pointless because so far there has been no progress made in stopping this senseless gun violence across this country. Okay? So we have to really dig deep, because there are too many young people dying today. Too many. And the children are our future. You know, the greatest love of all, the greatest song, you know, when Whitney Houston done it. You know, I believe the children are our future. Yes, they are our future. But what future are they going to have if they're all wiped out? Because it's getting worse. It's not getting better. And you know how the saying goes, oh, well, sometimes things get worse before they get better. Well, in this situation, things should not have to get worse before it gets better. Because we've seen worse. Last year was the worst year for Philadelphia. We had the most deaths due to gun violence in the history of Philadelphia, okay? So that's crazy. And now we are already started off to exceeding that. Where we were last year this time, we've exceeded it. And if things keep going this way this year, we are going to exceed those deaths from last year. Last year there were 562 homicides, and I believe there were 561 of those were due to gun violence. I have to look at my statistics again. I didn't know it by heart, but my day has been like so crazy hectic this whole weekend, as a matter of fact. But that's insane. And listen, the children that have died in this country so far, we have ages 0 to 11. There have been 25 deaths due to gun violence. That's crazy. Teenagers ages 12 to 17, 97. That's crazy. 238 injured. 61 injured ages 0 to 11. And, you know, this is ridiculous. Officers involved in incidents that were killed, 4. Officer involved incident that, you know, they kill people, 105. I mean, this, it just blows my mind. And it really leaves me speechless because it's insanity. We have to figure out why. So you heard in the opening the whys, the whens, the wheres, the hows, the whats, the whos. So we're going to break all that down and talk about that tonight because we want to know why. Why is this happening? Why are blacks killing blacks? Why are so many young people killing each other? We have people in their early 20s killing up people. And, you know, why? Why is this happening is what we need to figure out. And we need to figure it out quick because if we don't, it's getting worse and worse and worse and worse. You know, and it's so very sad. And mothers and fathers, they're grieving all around this country due to gun violence. Sisters and brothers are grieving their siblings. Cousins are grieving their cousins. Uncles and aunts are grieving their nieces and nephews. And grandparents are grieving their grandchildren. Husbands and wives are grieving as well because their spouses that have been lost. And even mothers have been lost and fathers have been lost. So children are also grieving the loss of parents due to gun violence. It's crazy. And, you know, the way my mind works and thinks, you know, all kinds of things run through my mind, you know, because if we look at this being 2022, okay, we look at 2020. Well, let's look at 2019. There were 15,448 gun violence deaths due to, you know, people killing people by guns. And then suicide by guns were 23,941. That was 2019. 2020, 19,411 gun violence deaths. And, you know, they still have not updated the suicide amount, you know, the number by suicide, but that may be even more than it was in 2019. So we're seeing an increase of deaths by guns. And it's so very sad. And then if we look at 2021 was a year that gun violence deaths were just through the roof. And it's just ridiculous because the increase means that something is definitely wrong with it increasing each year like this. You know, it's crazy. It started increasing in 2018, but it only went up by a little over 1,000. But when we look at this year, last year, we really can't look at this year yet, but we can just go by how the year started off, okay, with 400 homicides by gun. okay, in the first 4 days of 2022. Now, is that crazy or is it crazy? It's ridiculously crazy. And 2021, you know, was a really, really crazy year because the whole country, we saw so many states that broke their records for gun violence. They broke the records. They broke records. Philadelphia broke a record. You know, mostly all of these states that see a lot of gun violence broke records. And then you have states that had little gun violence, but they broke records too because now after years, they broke a record because now they're seeing increases in gun violence in those cities as well now. And, you know, some can say it's because of the pandemic. People were shut up in the homes and not able to go and do anything as normal. You know, some people blame it on that. Some people blame it on the tension due to gentrification. Some people blame it on lifestyle changes. Okay, some people blame it on losing loved ones and all different things that people blame this gun violence on. But are those really the reasons? Now, me with my controversial mind, I can go as far as to say that since these increases, it started upticking in 2020, and then we saw it increase in 2021. And we know that in 2020, yes, that is when the pandemic began in this country. And murders rose. Some people may say it started, you know, with George Floyd back in that year, 2020, when he was murdered that Memorial Day, okay, by Derek Chauvin. And some people may say it started then. But I say it started with the pandemic, and it started to increase at a steady pace. And again, the way my mind works is not like nobody else's mind, I tell you. But with the vaccine, and if you really listen to me, when they started administering these vaccines and using individuals as human guinea pigs to do test trials. And, you know, these test trials, they started way before they actually start promoting them, you know, on TV and all that stuff. They had started long before then. And so many people were involved with these test trials. A lot of people died during those test trials. Some people were messed up for life during those test trials. And anyway, with the stuff they are pumping into people, and I'm talking about people of color, they're pumping that vaccine into you. You don't know what they're putting into your bodies. And people don't want to listen, or they'll turn another way or tune a deaf ear. But in those vaccines, and y'all can believe it or not, okay, but I'm going to tell you anyway, it's a liquid chip that's going into your body that can control your mind. It has mind-altering substances in there and control substances in there where they can actually trigger off violent modes at any given time. And it might sound crazy, but hey, the government is capable of any and everything. I used to work for them. I know what they're capable of, okay? And things like this have been done in the past. It's been done with military people. Okay? Hey, so, you know, don't brush it off as, oh, well, she's crazy. No, I'm not crazy. I'm very sane. I'm very intelligent. And I do have facts as well, but we're not going to really get into that too deep tonight, but we will do a show all based on that in the near future. But if we look at these deaths, these homicides, these gun deaths, gun sales went up tremendously during the year of 2020, and they even went up last year. And like, geez, all these people buying guns, and a lot of these gun shops, they were not even really doing the required background checks or anything else. So we have now millions of people with guns and killings all over the country, even in states and cities where it's not really heard of that much. So when it happens, it's like, oh, what? And then you have people going around killing people that were not violent people at all. But all of a sudden, now they're violent. Husbands killing wives, wives killing husbands. A lot of pregnant women were killed by guns, okay, during the past 2 years. And it's very sad. So what the heck is going on? Is it something in the air? Because we know that stuff has been sprayed in inner city communities where it's highly populated by people of color, particularly blacks. Stuff is sprayed through the air. And that stuff, what are you breathing? What is it doing to the mind? What is it doing to your psyche? You know, is it triggering off things as well? And then the water that we're drinking, those of you that drink water out your faucet, spigot water, some people call it, what's in that water? Because here's another fact for you, and a lot of people don't want to believe it, but in inner cities and highly populated areas with black and brown people, there's a different pipeline that runs through your homes for water. Now that the city is being gentrified in most inner cities now, you'll notice that they're starting to dig up the old pipes and put in some new ones now where there's a whole block of new construction. But mind you, there were houses there before, but those pipes, they had that old water running through those pipes that was designed to put toxic stuff into our bodies. And it's a shame, people, but it's so much stuff that goes on. One day I am going to just do a whole show on stuff that the government does, okay? They do what they want to do. And it gets done, really, and people look the other way. People don't pay any attention because they think, oh, no, they wouldn't do that. Oh, yes, they will, and they do, okay? But anyway, that's enough of that. We're going to talk now about what's going on across this country and why. Who's doing the killing? Why are they doing it? How is it being carried out? How are children getting guns? How? How are they getting guns? It's crazy. And what is it to gain by taking the life of someone? What did they gain by doing that? We have to really get into the minds of young people to know where their mind is and why they do the things they do. And then we have adults as well that are out there killing as well. And people that are out there killing by the 10s and 20s, you know, these mass shootings. That's crazy. It's crazy. And we're going to address and attack each of those issues tonight, everybody, right here on News Forum with your girl, Chinchilla J. Let's bring Caroline on before we bring on Jamal. Caroline, how are you tonight, love?
I'm doing well, thank you. How are you?
I am fine. Well, for those of you that don't know who Caroline Turner is my dear friend. She's a criminal defense attorney and a wrongful conviction attorney with Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice. She's an awesome advocate for justice and an advocate for change, and she's also an activist. And Caroline, with these gun violence deaths, what are your thoughts and feelings on where we are, especially here in the city of Philadelphia now? We are only on the 30th day of the year, and we already have over 40 deaths. I mean, that's crazy.
It really is crazy, and it's terribly sad. I think that nobody really knows the causes per se, and it's not one cause. It's multifactorial. I think the pandemic has caused a lot of problems for a lot of people. It's made the poor poorer and the rich richer. It's highlighted the divisions between rich and poor. During the pandemic, all the rec centers were closed, schools were closed. People had no way to settle their scores, if you like. There wasn't the same support system that were in place. I think there's a lot of anger, fear. It's been a terrible time. A lot of people became unemployed. Parents couldn't look after their kids at home because they had to work, and schools were closed. I mean, it's just been a terrible time for people. And so I don't think it's down to any one cause. I think it's multifactorial. And I think the hardest hit people have been poor people in inner city communities. And you can't put it down to simplistic answers or simplistic solutions, except that we have to support communities that are suffering the most.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. It's definitely, many causes, and it's just something that really, something has to be done. Something has to be done because we are losing so many youth around this country, and even right here in Philadelphia, we are losing lots of young people each and every year, and almost daily. You know, and it's so very sad because they are our future, and we can't keep losing so many young people like this. They haven't even had a chance to really live life, and their life is taken away from them. It's so very sad, so very sad. We're going to bring on Jamal. And Caroline, you know who Jamal is, right? Jamal is the man that does the hunger strikes. He marches to Washington, marches to Georgia. And, you know, he's marching to Governor Wolf's home. And he has been out on the front line for a long time to fight against gun violence and for the cities to do something, like for Mayor Kenney to do something, and you know, and now for Governor Wolf to do something. And so Jamal has been a very focal point as far as combating gun violence. And he does that. And he does it alone. Like most of the time, he'll walk all of those miles by himself in the cold, in the snow. And to me, he is very remarkable. And he attended a couple of the Be a Voice rallies, and he spoke at the rally, and an awesome man. So we're going to bring on Jamal Johnson, SKU. He is the founder of Stop Killing Us. So a lot of people, you know, they want to know, well, what is SKU? And I know they're always trying to figure it out. Stop Killing Us. Because this is what's happening, people, and it's stop killing us. We have to stop killing us, okay? Not the cops, not the racist people. We as a people have to stop killing us. So tonight we are talking about black-on-black crime, which a lot of people don't want to talk about, the black-on-black crime. They rather talk about when a racist cop or a racist white person kills one of us. But this is what needs to be addressed, because we are killing us more than anyone else is. So welcome tonight, Jamal. How are you? Welcome to News Forum.
How are you? Thank you.
I'm fine. Thanks. So before we get into the conversation tonight, Jamal, just tell us now, you're still en route to Governor Wolf's house?
Yes, ma'am.
All right.
I'm on
so you'll be there tomorrow, right?
Right. I have about a little over a mile left outside of Mount Wolf, Pennsylvania, and we should be there tomorrow at his doorstep about noon.
Okay, that's awesome. And just tell everybody, I mean, it was snowing. It was cold, okay? Some of those nights you were out there walking, it was like the real field temperature was like 4 degrees, and you were out there. And how are you feeling, like, body-wise? You're nice and warm. Did you get any frostbite? I mean, how has this journey from Philadelphia to Governor Wolf's home been for you?
It's been pretty interesting. I've never taken this route before up in that area, in the rural area like that. The march I do to D.C., I'm pretty familiar with that route now. But this one has been pretty interesting. I think the people are surprised to see me, a black man, walking on those roads up there in the Amish country and other areas like that. I've been chased by dogs. I have to say that this is just, the hills. I didn't realize there were so many hills in Pennsylvania until I started going to Mount Wolf.
Wow. And that's really interesting. So Governor Wolf's hometown is Mount Wolf. Mount Wolf. Okay. That's so interesting. Now, have any other people joined you in this march this time?
Yes. When we began, we had quite a few people that joined me. And I believe they stayed 2 or 3 days. And then as I got farther away from the city, you know, logistically, it can be pretty difficult for people to continue on, especially when you have a job and things like that. I understand that. And So the farther I've gone, you know, right now I'm down to one gentleman that helps me with the transportation side of things. And other than that, it's been, I would say, probably about 75% maybe alone.
Okay. Wow. That's so remarkable. And now, with you going to Governor Wolf, now what are, just tell everybody, first of all, why do you do what you do as far as the hunger strikes, the walks, the marches to Washington, D.C., and, you know, and now to Governor Wolf's home and to Washington, D.C., you've been doing that for, was it 6 years or 10 years?
I started that in 2017.
Okay. 2017, so 5 years.
Yes.
Okay, so this year will be 5 years. Okay. Now, what made you start doing that and the hunger strikes? And just tell us about that, Jamal.
Okay. The reason I started 2017, I started a march called the Stop Killing Us March. I want to correct something. I'm not the founder of the Stop Killing Us organization. That's based in North Carolina. I'm a member of that organization, but I'm the founder of the Stop Killing Us March.
Okay.
And we have joined together on different activities under the banner of Stop Killing Us. But the march is my baby. The organization is Reverend Gatewood's. He began that some time ago.
Okay. Reverend Gatewood. Okay.
Yes. But I began the march to D.C. during the time of the endless killings that were going on by police. So I was really trying to bring attention to the police brutality that was going on. At that time, I was really, I would say, activated by the killing of David Jones, who was killed here in Philadelphia by Officer Powell now back in at that year, 2017. And I left from where he was killed and marched down to D.C. Now, my purpose for marching and not driving was because I wanted to engage and interact with other communities that were suffering the same tragedies that we were with the killings of black people, especially by police officers. So my goal was and still is to try to get some action from the legislators, primarily the Congressional Black Caucus. This is prior to the George Floyd bill coming to be, obviously. So I continued that for about 2 or 3 years. Meanwhile, the gun violence obviously was escalating more and more, and I saw that as a twofold problem, and I added that to my agenda, and I felt that both of these things should be addressed by the legislators in D.C., and since then I've been doing that, making the gun violence recently in the last 3 years the primary objective. And prior to the George Floyd bill, the Stop Killing Us organization had come up with some agendas that they felt that if they were looked at, they could possibly help to remedy the police brutality issue. It's ironic because now, because of the George Floyd, a lot of those items that we were calling for back in 2017 is actually the George Floyd Act now that's still waiting to have some attention put on it like it should be. So I continue to go to D.C. to push for the George Floyd Act to have that enacted. Hopefully that will happen shortly. But in addition to that, I've been speaking to the CBC in reference to what we can do as a city and as a country to remedy this endless carnage that's happening on our streets.
Wow. Now, that's very interesting how you started off dealing with the police shooting and killing the young man here in Philadelphia, and now it's become so much more. So with this, the black-on-black crime, Jamal, like, can you, I guess, describe to me what you would like to see happen? Like, let's just talk about Philadelphia right now. So in the city of Philadelphia, what would you like to see happen here? What do you think would be a good way to combat this gun violence?
I think first and foremost, and this answer may be surprising, but I think the community needs to do its part. And I think the community needs to act. I don't think the community is exhibiting a sense of urgency about this sub-genocide that's going on in the city of Philadelphia. I don't think that they have put their feet to the pavement to show that we won't tolerate this, not only to the shooters, but also to the administration, Kennedy administration. As you know, I did do a hunger strike around this time last year. And the reason I did it was because city council had given Mayor Kenney a resolution, 200447, addressing gun violence. And Mayor Kenney totally ignored it. He chose not to speak about it. He didn't do anything about it. And city council basically left it alone. Well, we took up the fight, and it still didn't go anywhere, so I decided to do a hunger strike until Mayor Kenney recognized this resolution and then acted upon this resolution, at which point he did come down, and we spoke after the 26th day of my hunger strike. Now, he did do one thing, which is the biweekly briefings that he has now every 2 weeks on gun violence, which was agreed upon. That was also in the resolution. But there are other items in the resolution he hasn't even touched. Now, the reason why I'm going to Governor Wolf is because I have basically given up on Philadelphia's efforts to deal with this gun violence. I mean, you have to look at the numbers. I mean, we had record-breaking year last year. Okay, we're on our way there now, and we're still talking the same talk. We're still asking for the same thing, and we're still doing the same thing and expecting something different to happen. It's not going to happen. And the reason I'm going outside of the box is because inside the box, everybody else seems to be blind. And everybody's talking money, 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 money. Money is not going to solve this problem. It will help us, but it will not solve this problem. Our communities must get involved. The city has to do its part, which it is not. The reason I'm going to Governor Wolf is because Governor Wolf is the state level. He's the state level. Now, we listen to a lot of these legislators talk about the state level only about money. It's still about money. I want somebody on the street to make it safe for my children, my loved ones, to go back and forth to school. I want to know I'm not going to get carjacked when I stop at the next red light. I need to make sure that when I'm outside watching these children go to and from school, they're not going to be mowed down in the street. Who's doing that on our streets? Very, very few people are. And very, very few people in our community are trying to do it. And because they're not, I advocate for the National Guard.
So now, okay, so you would want to see the National Guard come in?
Temporarily, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And then their presence in the city, like, what would that look like for you? Like, if that was to happen, what do you think, or where do you think they should be stationed? What would their duties be here? What would happen with the National Guard being here?
I think basically it would be similar to what was going on when we had the George Floyd riots here in Philadelphia. You know, sure, they were out to protect property, but their presence is there to deter. Just as if we were to have patrols, many patrols right now, I believe we only have one or two that are organized in the city, but if we would have citywide patrols, it would not be to go out and confront people and somehow get into some type of altercation. It's a deterrent. The presence itself can be a deterrent. We're not even doing that. And since we're not doing that, somebody has to do it. Commissioner Outlaw says she doesn't have enough police officers. She can't get people to join the police force. Okay, so who's going to protect us? Who's going to look out for us? Mm. Who's going to keep us safe? Somebody has to do it. And so everyone who is against the National Guard, I've asked them, are you willing to do it? I don't have to tell you the answer.
Wow. 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 Now, that's really crazy. So now, you said something pretty interesting. You know, the police force now, they're limited on manpower, police power now here in the city, and people don't even want to be hired or work for the police department anymore. And there was a time when people would apply all the time, you know, to go and become a police officer, and lots of people were turned down, especially people of color, where they were not really hiring many people of color and all kinds of things. And now they're desperate for police officers, and they can't get anyone to come and apply. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy. So now you said the community, and I do feel that the community definitely plays a big role in, you know, curtailing this gun violence, because it happens in communities. It's not, you know, like it happens outside of the communities, really. It's usually within these communities, and the people in the communities, like you said, most of them, they really don't care. They don't like seeing people get killed. And they often cry about, well, what is the city doing, or what is somebody going to do about this gun violence? But as a community, yes, there are things that we can definitely do as a community, and that is to look and be on watch, looking to see what's going on in the community, and stop turning the other way when they see crimes take place. But, you know, the silence is what gets me. And, you know, that's why I say we need to stop the silence, you know, and attack the gun violence, because, you know, with people looking the other way, they don't want to tell, they don't want to say they saw anything or who shot somebody, and people fail to realize as long as that continues to go on, then the ones that are out there pulling the trigger and constantly shooting, injuring innocent people, killing innocent people, you know, they are still out there to kill and kill and kill again. And that's so very sad. And I know that some people are afraid, and because they think that if they tell, the people are going to find out that they said, you know, they were the ones that did it, and then they could come after them. And so many people walk in that type of fear, Jamal. And, you know, a few days ago, the family, a whole family of six, I believe it was six, family of six, were murdered. And they were supposed to be in the witness protection program. And yet, they all were murdered. So this is, I guess, a kind of valid reason for some people not to want to say what they saw. You know, even though there are rewards out there, you know, some rewards are put out, you know, $10,000, $20,000 for information, you know, leading them to the actual criminal. And people don't want to do it because they are afraid. So what do you think should happen in situations like that, Jamal?
Well, first of all, I'm not advocating that people go out there and start snitching on people. That's not my goal.
Okay.
My goal is to deter. My goal is to put a presence on the street, primarily black men, as a deterrent. Just like the police. Why do the police walk the block? They could stay in the cars. No, they put them on the streets because they know that while they're walking around, they are probably a deterrent for crime, more so than if they're just driving through the neighborhood. And this is all I'm saying. We could walk through the neighborhood just like Town Watch used to do back in the day, you know? I come up through the roots of the House of Umoja, which I'm sure you're familiar with, and we at that time would deal with the gun violence back in the 70s. And one of the things we would do is we would place ourselves at the streets that we knew that there was going to be a confrontation of two gangs. Now, most of the times we never, ever were hurt because it never transpired. Why? Because of the terrorists, because people knew who brought us out there, what we were trying to do. We're bringing peace. We don't want people killing one another. All right. Now, that doesn't mean they didn't do it later. Doesn't mean they didn't do it somewhere else. But they didn't do it then. And in all my years, even being on the streets, and I walk the streets a lot alone, I have never been assaulted, threatened, or attacked. In fact, a lot of people, young men, have come up to me and thanked me for being out there and bringing some notice to this gun violence. What I'm saying is that we're not out here to be police, to be cops. All we're saying is that we want our neighborhoods back and we're willing to go out there and stand on the corners and just be there. And just be there. And hopefully that will show these young people that we do care about what's going on out there with them and with our community. Right now, all they got to do is look and see one another. They see each other. They don't see us. So even if they want to get out of the streets, who are they going to go to? They're going to go to their peers? No. Now, there are a lot of organizations out here who are doing great work. And in the long term, I'm sure it's going to be effective. In the long term, that's not going to stop the young man or the young woman that's going to be killed tonight. My goal is to stop the bleeding right now while we do those long-term projects. And there's nobody on these streets stopping the bleeding right now. And that includes the police department. So that's why I'm advocating for National Guard.
Okay. For the National Guard to come in and patrol. And if every community had their own, like the men in those communities would take an interest to make their communities safe by patrolling the communities, it would make a difference to see that presence, that male presence out in the streets. That's
yes,
absolutely correct. But now when you said that, you know, you don't want people to be a snitch, so, I mean, I guess I see that a little differently because, you know, as long as violent people, because there's several people that have committed several murders, not just one, not just an accident, but intentionally going out killing people and then killing people that they were not even targeted, you know, wasn't the actual target, that got caught in the crossfire by a stray bullet. And so for, you know, people to feel as though, well, I'm not going to say anything. I know who did it, but I'm not going to say nothing. I'm not going to say anything. I think that that's wrong. And that's my personal opinion. I think that's so very wrong because someone has been killed, someone's child, someone's husband, someone's brother, someone's cousin. Someone has been killed. And that person that did that crime, they need to actually do some time. Now, I understand, you know, that there are programs, you know, when people have mental problems and different things like that. But guess what? As long as that person is still out on the street, they're going to kill again. You know, I don't agree with that part of, you know, about people should not snitch because it shouldn't even be called snitching.
Well,
you know, if someone actually, you know, killed someone in someone's family, they would definitely want to know who did it. You know, who did it? And so, yeah. Now, what were you going to say, Jamal?
I'm sorry. Yeah, I wanted to really make sure I'm understood. When I say snitch, what I'm saying is that we don't want people out there with the sole purpose of looking and pointing at people doing things. That's what I mean by snitching. That does
not mean
that if we see something, we're not going to say anything. We may do it discreetly. We may not do it right at the moment it happens. We're going to have some kind of connection just by the fact that we're out there. The police want us. I'm not going to say they want us out there, but they don't want vigilantes. They don't want civilian patrols out there doing their job. But I know for a fact they welcome organized community groups like Town Watch used to be. They welcome that because it's another set of eyes on the street. But that's all I'm saying. I'm not saying going around your sole purpose is to look for crime. No, we're not crime fighters. We're not trying to be crime fighters. But we are trying to be a deterrent to what's happening by being a presence and also be an avenue for some of them kids that want to come off them streets. You can't go on the street at 5 in the afternoon when the kids come out at 5 in the morning. You got to be out there at 5 in the morning too. And that's not happening around here. And where it is happening, that it's not happening enough because there's not enough of us participating.
Right, right. Okay. All right. So now, next question, Jamal, I have for you. With all of, I guess, everything that's going on, now, with the city being gentrified the way it is, Do you think that gentrification plays a role in the increase in violence as well?
I think that anything that people have finally come up with, and I mean, they spend so much money on this stuff, the sociologists, the quarterbacks that run around here talking about what's happening. I think every reason a person gives is probably correct as to why this gun violence is happening. I think that you can sit down and probably talk about it for a month and still don't touch on every little thing that's happening that's causing this gun violence. My goal, my purpose in life is not to sit around and pontificate or to elucidate what people have already said. I'm out here to say we need to do something now. We need to do something. It's enough talking has gone on. It's time to do something.
Yeah, it is. There's so much talking has been going on, meetings, talking, and still yet all of this gun violence is still very prevalent in our cities. And, you know, it's such a sad situation. Before we go into the next conversation or question, we're going to take a caller. Caller, you're live on the Air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing excellent. How you doing, woman of God? Can you hear me?
I am fine. This is Brother Mooney.
Yes, it is. I'm enjoying the show, so let me speak directly right quick. You know, it's twofold. When you listen to what's happening with us as a people, there's two types of people. One I'm not going to mention tonight. I'm going to give you the title of it, but I'm going to cover this on my own show, okay, called The Fallen Ones. These are the original people that was here at the very beginning, okay, that was here in the beginning, and they look just like us, but they're soulless. They don't care. They don't care at all. Now, you deal with a people that's been in bondage for over 400 years and counting, and they was taught how to hate themselves, and they was given everything that you can imagine for us to be disagreeable, and, you know, it's in the American, the great American fabric, okay? And as far as the United States of America, let's be real. The United States of America armed forces have never, ever fought on our behalf. They can fight for everybody else, but they won't fight for us. When it comes to all the hell that we've been through, they haven't even invested in us to be able to get real psychologists and get this hatred and stuff removed out of our system. But again, I don't give them the sole responsibility. I give ones like myself the sole responsibility, and this is what I've been doing for 36 years. I'm going to say this. For 36 years, I have been encouraging our people to love themselves more than they love everybody else. And I've been hated for that. Now, I want you to think about this right now. Everybody have been teaching everybody, but everybody don't love us in the same way. And when you look at these young brothers and sisters out here that's killing each other, it starts from a serious hate of ourselves and each other. That has to be removed. And we can pray, we can do all kind of things like that, but until that is addressed, this gun violence and all that kind of stuff, just the end result. Things that we learn as cartoons, things that we read in our public schools, things that we see in the great entertainment, from these video games to the movies and stuff that we watch, it encourages violence and hatred. Time a scare picture come on, the black person is killed within the first 5 minutes. And we look at that as entertainment. You get what I'm saying? So until we address the fact, and I said it before, 36 years, including tonight, forget about loving everybody else. You got to love yourself. You got to be able to take control of your own life and each other. Now, that's as far as I can take that right now, but I got some good news for you. Congratulations, News Forum anchor Chinchilla J on your ONE syndication station all-time connection record, with your 42nd all-time and third consecutive. I'm proud of you.
All right.
And I'm going to put it on pause and listen to the rest of the show.
All right. Thank you so very much, Brother Henry. Thank you for that wonderful news. And thank you for your input tonight as well. All right.
I got to come on real quick. I got to come on real quick, okay. Chinchilla. I love what Jamal said. And I've been saying, Chinchilla, I've been a witness. All the people around the world what Jamal said tonight. I've been a witness. And let us go into where we need to help ourselves, okay? We have a lot of cowards in our community. Where are you when a child on your block gets killed? How dare you? How dare you? You shouldn't even have the guts to be able to stand in your warm house and not protest is justice. Period. Charity starts at home, but it should be outward in our community. And now back to Chinchilla J.
All right. Thank you, Brother O, for that. And definitely, you know, and then what we always talk about as well, everybody, is parenting. Because, you know, a lot of these kids that are out here committing these crimes, they're not parented. Their parents are out somewhere, not concerned, not raising them, not, you know, instilling morals and values in them. They're not showing them love. They're not giving them guidance. They're not giving them direction. They are bad, poor examples, and definitely not a role model for their children. And, you know, when children grow up in those kind of environments, you know, these are the things that happen. And that's not to say that every child that has grown up or, you know, been raised, well, they're not even being raised, but have grown in an environment without love, without direction. There are some that grew up to be great and never became criminals or, you know, any type of criminal acts. And that's a lot to say for them. But we have to really take in consideration these children that are out there raising themselves. Is very sad. And that's why it's so very important that we have role models for these children, because they don't experience love. You know, I grew up in a family with love, you know, love. And my mom instilled morals and values and principles, and, you know, and I still live by those things today. But there are kids that lack that. There are kids out there that have never had a home-cooked meal. It's always McDonald's, Checkers, Wendy's, what have you. They don't get a home-cooked meal, and that's sad as well. And for them to grow up with one parent, and guess what? You know, their kids that grew up with one parent turned out great, okay? I grew up with one parent, my mom, because my dad was gone when I was probably about maybe 30 or something, you know. But then he came back in my life when I was an adult, but I was a grown adult with kids. And but I'm saying that to say that every person that is raised in a single-parent environment, they don't turn out bad. Some people say, oh, well, I blame it on, you know, because the dad's not there and it's a single, they've been raised by a single mother. So what? That doesn't, you know, dictate how you're going to live your life, because there are a lot of great single moms out there. My mom was one, and she did a heck of a job raising my brother and myself. And so there are a lot of wonderful single mothers out there. There are a lot of wonderful single fathers out there. But it's a matter of, what are you instilling in your children? Are you giving them a curfew? Do you tell them, hey, look, you can't be outside past 8 or past 9, you know? Are you giving them a time to come in the house? Are you making sure they get into bed to get proper rest and relaxation to get up for school? Are you waking them up for school? Are you taking an interest in their education? You know, these are things that children need. They need a parent or parents to take an interest in them. And a lot of children are lacking that. And that's where community comes in, and people within the community that can be role models, and, you know, these organizations that can provide programs and all types of other things to get these children off the streets and doing something productive, you know, productive. And we're going to pick up that conversation in a minute. Let me go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the Amherst News Forum. How are you tonight? Calling you live on the air with News Forum. How are you?
Okay. Caller, I don't know what's going on with your line. We'll bring you back on in a little while. Get your line right. And we'll continue with you and Jamal at this time.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So, Jamal,
yes.
What, as far as resources and programs for young people, what do you feel as though would be some excellent ones, like what type of programs, what type of resources for children do you think would be something beneficial to get them off the streets?
I think that the programs that are needed are being formed. I think that the money that's needed to form those programs are out there. I think that some of those people are able-bodied people who are leading these type of events. The thing is that I don't think that that's all that has to be done. We have a focus on the youth, and that's necessary. But we cannot forget where those youth come from. And nobody's going back where those children come from. And so if we don't reach our community, if we don't engage our community, if we don't get our community to feel some sense of responsibility as to what's happening with these children, it's not going to change anything because they're going to go back to where they came from. So we, like, let's say we have the recreation center. They go there, they play. Okay, good. They have fun, but they still go back home. And what's happening at home, who knows? But the thing is, the people at home aren't being tasked. You, all these people that we see that are crying all the time, the first thing I always say to myself is, is there a man in the house? Because these children have fathers or uncles or something. Where is the male energy at and all this stuff? I see these women. I don't see these men. And I'm asking that question because we have got to start realizing that these children are part of our community. The community itself has got to be engaged. And anything else we do and ignore that, we're going to just keep perpetuating this type of attitude, I believe. That's why I'm saying I'm not on the side that sits and wants to talk about why. I want to stop people dying right now. That's my goal. My goal is to stop people dying on the streets right now, not 5 years from now, right now. And I haven't seen anyone yet come up with anything other than what I'm talking about to solve that problem. And when they do, then I'm going to be all for them, 100%. But right now, we keep talking about the youth, but we don't realize that we have to address the community. The community has got to be called out for its role in this whole mess, and they are not. They are not. And I'm not saying that offensively. I'm saying that factually. We're not doing it, and until we do, we're just running around chasing our tail, I believe.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, the community definitely needs to get involved, and they should. And because, as I said, I think in the opening, you know, that anytime gun violence occurs in any neighborhood or any community, it affects that whole community. And this is what people fail to realize, but it definitely affects the whole community because we have now, we have children that are traumatized by witnessing gun violence or, you know, knowing that their friend was shot down and killed. And so it's definitely a community issue. And, you know, and it definitely, I believe it starts at home. It starts at home. And, you know, we definitely have to step in where children are not receiving the things they need to receive as a child, when their needs are not being met mentally, emotionally, socially. You know, that's where the community plays a big part. And we definitely have to get involved and want to make safer communities. And, you know, I think that gentrification definitely plays a part as well. Especially when we have gentrification going on where they're building apartment buildings and all kinds of other things that they're building, and they're putting them up in areas that are already overpopulated, areas that already have lack of parking, but yet they're building these monstrosities, and it's taken away from programs or things that could be put in place, a building that could be put in place of another apartment complex, okay, for children. Like, for instance, in South Philadelphia, you know, where you came, where you would come to the rallies that we have in South Philly, to the Be a Voice rallies. Mm-hmm. That lot there, Okay, a top-rate developer is trying to build a 57 five-story unit there, and that should not be placed there because the kids in this area have nothing to do, no place to go, no safe haven, and that property should be turned into a safe haven where it could be a free music school, a community center, a family center, whatever, you know, but something housing productive programs for youth. And historical designer Vincent Modo wanted to do that there. And so it was Right the Wrong Coalition. And, you know, it would house all kinds of programs. And there are people already in place to run these programs and to offer these services because we need to have more places for our young people to go that they can feel safe, that they can learn a trade, that they can learn a skill, be productive, learn audio engineering, learn how to play an instrument, and so many other things they can learn, you know? But yet they're not given that opportunity because the city wants to look the other way and allow developers to build and giving developers, you know, the buy right option because certain legislators won't put a bill in place to prevent a buy right from taking place, and all they want to cry is a buy right, a buy right, a buy right. The heck with a buy right, okay? Be right. You be right and do what's right for these communities to stop this gun violence and provide safe havens for our young people. And right, to put a price on a property or a building and to say, oh, well, that building, that's too pricey and, you know, we don't want to deal with that developer. And in this case, the developer was willing to swap a property. But yet the city, well, not the entire city, but Councilman Johnson says, well, oh, well, that's too pricey. That property is way much more than that property that he wants to swap with. And so, no, we're not going to swap with nothing that pricey. But how can you put a price on a life? These young people are dying left and right, getting shot left and right in South Philadelphia, and he wants to talk about young, the price of some other building or some other property being 10 times more than the other one. That shouldn't matter because the city has the money. They're giving money away to organizations exactly to do stuff. They
That's
can
right
build what needs to be built. So, I mean, things like that, it like blows my mind. How can you say this, but you're supposed to be such a big advocate against gun violence? You're supposed to be this big one, always peace, not guns, and all that stuff. Put down the guns. But yet, you are neglecting the safety of the young people in this area. I have a problem with that. And it
can
seems
I
like nobody them? Else in the area does. I have a serious problem with that. Because that should be the top priority, is the safety of these young people. And, you know, that's where I really give big praise to Councilwoman Gardier, because she don't just talk it, she walks it. And, you know,
that's right,
and she fights for what's right. And that's
mm-hmm
what each person that we vote into office, they need to do what's right for those communities that they represent. And if they do not, they should not be put back in office. But yet people continue to vote for them over and over and over again and praise them for the little things they do, because they have little events that the community can come to and all the little things they do. Okay, but no, that's not right. We have to speak up and speak out against anything that's not right. But people are afraid because they don't want to lose friends. But it's not about losing friends, people. It's about losing the lives of these young people that we're losing. So, I mean, I tell you, some things that it really just gets to me, Jamal. Go ahead.
I understand, but I want to say this. You know, we talk about gentrification. We talk about what should be. But we still have to come back to the community. I mean, if the community is
mm-hmm
not going to stand up, people's going to walk over us. You can't
right
blame people for taking over our neighborhood if we're not going to defend against them taking it. You just can't do that. And, you know, we can point fingers at politicians all we want. We put them in the office, you know, and if we're going to keep putting them in there, then how are you going to sit there and complain about the stuff that you keep putting back in the street? You putting them back in office. That's why when Rhea Kenny refused to acknowledge gun violence resolution, I was upset with all city council because they weren't putting their foot on this man's neck. We got people dying in the street, and y'all acting like business as usual? No. But that's our fault for not putting our feet on their necks. You see what I'm saying? And the community has got to get involved. Ultimately, the community is going to be part of the answer to this problem. And we can talk all day, but if we're not willing to stand up and stand out, then we're no better than they are. We're no better than the people we complain about until we start hitting them streets and making them people feel us like they should. What I told people say, well, why we go downtown? You go downtown because they don't come uptown. You make them feel your pain. You don't sit up there crying in North Philly. You take it down City Hall and let them look at you, and you call them out, just like that one sister did the other day with Congressman Dwight Evans, when she, the mother of that child that was killed. These are the frank, in-your-face statements that we have got to start making instead of being so politically correct. And until we do, our kids want to keep dying. All this money they're throwing out there. Think of all the millions of dollars we got out. There's nothing that a black child in this city shouldn't have if they want it. But all this money we got going on out here.
Right.
We're still in the same mess. Why?
Yeah.
Because we still got the same people handling the money.
Exactly.
And we're not asking for accountability.
Right.
It's going to keep happening like this. That's why I'm going outside of Philly, because Philly is not being held accountable by the people that live in Philly. And that's our fault. We have got to motivate our people somehow to get involved in what is in our best interest, not in the best interest of those we elect.
Yeah, that's so true. And like in that Point Breeze area, you know, like there's a handful of people that have been fighting since 2015 to save that property. And, you know, and a handful of people, other people will come, they say, oh, yeah, well, we don't want to see, they don't want stuff to happen there, but yet they won't become actively involved.
Exactly.
And, you know,
exactly.
And it's such a sad thing. But, yeah, something definitely needs to be done. Something definitely has to be done because it's ridiculous. Everybody, we are on air right now, live from Lagos, Nigeria. You can call in if you're listening via the World Wide Web tonight at 516-453-9133. If you'd like to talk, comment, or vent tonight or ask a question to my guest, you may press 1. Those of you that are already on the call and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you may press 1, and we will do our best to get to you. We are talking about stopping the silence. We're having an attack tonight on gun violence. So that's what we all need to keep in our minds, people, that we will not be silent. We cannot, because the silence is killing, okay? So we have to begin to speak up and speak out against this senseless act of gun violence. So stop the silence, people. I am going to bring on a man that's right now, he is in a Louisiana state prison. And we're going to get his input on gun violence in America, and he's going to be my special guest for next Sunday, telling the story of his wrongful conviction. But we're going to get his input tonight on what he feels about about this senseless gun violence, and find out how the gun violence is there in Louisiana. All right, so we're going to bring on Mr. Anthony right now and talk to him for a bit. How are you tonight, Mr. Anthony?
All right, Mr. Onesia, how are you doing, ma'am?
I'm fine, thank you very much. I know that you've been listening to this whole show tonight, and what are your thoughts on the gun violence that's going on, the black-on-black crime with the young people killing each other up? What are your thoughts on that tonight?
Yes, ma'am. How I feel about that is what the community doesn't understand, it affects all of us. It affects family. It affects friends. It affects associates. Mm-hmm. And it's something that needs to be stopped. But the main part about it is that it begins and it starts with us. A saying that my grandmother used to have a long time ago was a village that prays together stays together, and it takes a village in order to raise a child. So this is something that we have to instill in our children from a very young age. I'm not getting on any parents because I know everyone has their own way of disciplining their child. But if you don't discipline your child, unfortunately, you are forcing your child to entertain all of this activity that are going on with dealing with gun violence. You know, back in the day, people used to just fight. They fight, get it over with. Now people hold grudges. There's so much hate that people have in their heart. And it's not just Caucasians or other races doing this to us. This is us doing this to our own selves. We are hurting our own communities. It needs to, the cycle has to stop somewhere. And this is why I'm so appreciative of this show. It begins with us. It begins with you. I'm thankful for everything you're doing. It begins with the listeners that are out here. By us talking about it, it starts, but we have to do more than just talk about it. I believe you said the name, the man's name is Jason that I was listening to, or Jamal. I don't want to call him the wrong name. And
yes, Jamal.
As far as Jamal, he had going on, I like that, sir. I support you for that 100%. If we had more Jamals in this world, this would be a better world. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And we're affected by it because of these guys that I'm incarcerated with that are surrounded in here. You can see the ripple effect that it has on families. Some guys are innocent in here. Some guys actually committed the charge or whatever. But it doesn't just affect one person. It affects this entire country anytime an innocent life is taken for nothing. So please, please, everyone, do whatever you can in order to stop the gun violence.
Yes, thank you so much for calling in and listening to the show tonight. Thank you so much, Mr. Anthony. And again, everybody, make sure you tune in next Sunday night at the same time because Mr. Anthony will be my special guest, and we will discuss his wrongful conviction. He's been wrongfully incarcerated now for how long, Mr. Anthony?
I've been here now 7 years in Louisiana State Penitentiary now.
Okay, for 7 years, everybody, 7 years. So we're going to hear his compelling story next Sunday night, same time, 9:30 p.m., everybody. So thank you so much again, Mr. Anthony, and continue listening if you can. All right, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
I just want to make sure I'm clear because last time I think it was a little disconnection. My name is Corn Williams. I'm street supervisor, Cure Violence in Philadelphia.
Okay.
Jamar Scoe, I know him real good. Real good man, real good soldier. And his attention,
yes,
like so many others, is pure. You know, we've been down to a couple locations where we lost members of our community. It looked just like me and you that fell victims of the, you know, the trigger man that looked just like me and you. There were several things that was discussed, you know what I mean, that stood out to me. And it's my mantra. Number one, we got to stop the bleeding. That's number one. We all talking about, we understand the wounds. We don't identify that there's definitely wounds, but we got to stop the bleeding. If you don't stop the bleeding, you can't take, you know, surgeons can't do what they need to do. That's because we're dealing with drama, and we're dealing with drama at a significant level. You know what I mean? And, you know, we understand systematic racism. Like Brother Jamal said, we understand, you know, what's going on, you know, that causes trauma. But the number one killer of black men from the age of 15 to 35 is at the hands of another black man. That's genocide in any other civilized country. A state of emergency. Now, I don't agree with what the National Guard's coming in and taking up and housing up areas in the black community. What I do agree is the responsibility belongs to us. We have all the faculties that we need and resources in place, but we can't get the surgery till we stop the bleeding. How do we stop the bleeding? You pointed out we need safe havens, not safe havens to hang out. You spoke about learning trades. That comes down the line. We need safe havens where we speak cognitive behavior, changing their thinking. We got to take them out of their environment consistently and house them consistently with reprogramming them. They dealing with a psychosis never seen before. They call them Generation X. Universally, X means the unknown. And this is what we do. And then we bring the parents in to a safe haven. Because the only thing we're doing now is responding to gun violence. We're not stopping the bleeding. We deal with the women directly, the victims. We're hospital responsive. When the song bite, when the sound bite stop on the news, we done got 100 of them. When they don't nobody talk about the insurance. Don't nobody talk about the pain of a mother losing her child. I mean, everybody's numbers now. We got to do this as a community. I agree 100%. But how do we do it when most of these people run around here that look like me and you accepting Band-Aids on situations that need surgery? 30 pieces of silver. That's what it boiled down to, and we being crucified behind it. The kiss of death. 30 pieces of silver. This organization here, this organization, you taking money to put Band-Aids on it. And like you pointed out, sis, and you do a little event here and a little event there. And about time you get done the event, nationally, we done lost 300 children.
Yes.
So we need to place them. We gotta take them out of the environment. So you got these grassroots organizations that's been here using yesterday's tactics for today's reality. It's not going to work. I compliment you, but it's not going to work. It's sad that a man got to leave his community and go somewhere outside his community to knock on the Governor Wolf's door to ask him for time to acknowledge that there's trouble on the plantation. It's not mathematics to me. And if anything, I'm going to eat a wholesome meal every day, psychologically, emotionally, and spiritually, to build up my resort because it's a soldier's story and a warrior's life. I'm not starving myself. My ancestors did that. We gotta take the baton from our elders like Brother Jamal and let him sit back and watch the rewards and fruits of his labor. We got 60,000 black offenders coming home in the state of Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia itself. These are the men that's going to make the difference. We the cure. They don't want to give us the money that we need and the space we need. But I'm not going to ask nobody to do for us what we can do for ourselves. And I'm out there, my team out there every day, every night dealing with these young boys. You know what I mean? And they're not the problem. They inherit the problem. Don't keep telling me my young boys the problem. They not the problem. They inherited it. And they don't got no resources. Yeah. They don't know no reality outside the hood.
Right.
So we got a responsibility. But again, I don't agree with no National Guard come in. I believe in raising up our own National Guard and our own police system. If you tired of white boys coming in here, then build our own police. It ain't a whole lot of rap. I gotta worry about my mom going to the store. Nah, what do I do then? You know, so we gotta work with them children. You remember in the Bible when the disciples and Jesus was having counsel about dealing with the trials and tribulations of that day, the community of Roman law? They were sitting there having counsel on the wayside. Children were playing. And one of the children came over, and one of the disciples, you know, he shooed the child away. And Jesus said, "Suffer not the little children to come upon me.
That's right.
What part we don't understand? And then you get those handkerchief-head Negroes that want to be at his right hand, you know, his right hand at the hereafter. Who going to sit at your right hand? Another part of Scripture. Jesus brought one of the children, put him in the midst, and said, lest thy convert thyself to one of these little children, thou art the least of the kingdom of heaven. We might not be here physically, but I want my children's children, to be inheritors of heaven. I can't ask the devil to help me with that shit.
Right.
That's what I'm saying.
You
definitely can't. We gotta stop the policemen. Safe havens. We need to demand safe havens bigger than recreation centers because we're gonna have structured programs. The first thing they gotta go into is cognitive behavior. We gotta identify and stop the bleeding. We get the young boys on the corner. They know us. They love to go to a structured, safe environment where black men that look just like them ain't telling them to put their guns down. Y'all out your mind? How you going to go to these young boys with their guns down? How dare you?
Right.
Can't turn you off.
What are they getting them in replace?
So now we can dialogue why you got the gun. Because I don't believe in giving up ammunition when we at war. But I know it depends who hands it in.
So we change their thinking to change their behavior because they're going to reproduce. We got to break the curse and break the chain. So no, it's zero tolerance. I love Brother Jamal. I salute you, but I ain't walking 90 miles nowhere to go knock on somebody's door and tell them to acknowledge, again, what's going on in my quarters. I got to worry about my children, my children's children. If you holding those guns, who's holding your child? That's the type of dialogue we got to have. But we right now, we going out there talking to them on the corner, leaving them in the same environment. All that regentrification, once they free their dome and they recognize their worth, the environment will show and reflect that. And when they come in, they got to cut a check. But for now, they'll keep on patronizing Chinese people, the Arabs, the Jamaicans, and everybody else because they sick. And they need doctors, not just lip professors. It's time for mothers in charge. You see, pass the baton to Voices by Choices to sisters that lost their children dealing with this generation. Again, it's Band-Aid, and don't nobody want to talk about that. I done seen Larry Krasner, for instance, in the trenches when he was just a civil rights attorney. We was in there, Germantown Avenue, brainstorming about how we going to utilize the Bloc Party and ex-offenders to back up his agenda. I can't get a phone call back now. I done sat on the table with Kenny, got flicked and everything. I can't get a call back now, but these handkerchief Negroes can. And that's why I don't nobody hear of me that much, unless I'm on the news or unless I'm at another visual or unless I'm consoling me and my team, another mother that lost her child. See, this we having counsel again. And ain't nobody from children. They don't got no safe havens. Simon Gratt High School lost 11 children so far this year. They just coming back to school. Tragic.
Yes, it is. Are you still there?
Hey. I'm here.
Oh, okay. And now tell me, now what's your name again?
My name is Colin Williams. I'm street supervisor for Cure Violence, but I'm also the founder of Solutions Now, LLC.
Okay. Okay.
But me and Jamal, he's real good brother, and I appreciate y'all giving me time to, to vent.
Yes.
That's exactly what it is. It's therapeutic for the soul, but you said real talk, that's what we do. It's tragic, as we speak, we losing somebody else statistically. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, that's so true. And very sad.
And then the thing is, let me say something, too, because I want people to understand, and this is the type of dialogue when we say we go in, we got to talk to our youth. As they die, one of the main things that they got on the agenda now is to ask the family, do they want to give up the organs? They got to make their money back. And we talk about healthy young black men with today's reality and the super scientists, them healthy hearts, those kidneys. Just like the Pittsburgh boy that got murdered when Casey needed, heart transplants and all that. He came up missing. He just happened to be a perfect match. They got to be.
It's funny that man just said this. I'm going to keep you on the line,
It's real talk.
A lot of people didn't understand. Hold on. A lot of people didn't understand the series of Lovecraft Country. Episodes 4 and 5 dealt with, you can go on HBO Max, you can find it, does about them transplanting our body parts to keep them alive. And it's funny that Lovecraft Country, Chinchilla Jay, was canceled because they were given nutrients. Sometimes the devil doesn't even know the nutrients that they give to the righteous people. And it's deep in that level. And I'm very proud of what the brother just said. First of all, you have young people, Chinchilla, dying on the streets. And the first thing they ask is, can we get their organs?
Mm-hmm.
Come on, guys, let's wake up. You know, melanin is the greatest material and the greatest resource in the world. And, you know, this is the third straight show I've come on News Forum because I can't, I'm so intelligent. I'm a god. So I cannot be quieted when I hear the truth. And I've been saying this a long time. We'll go back to our brother, Jamal, and then get into my Ngozi time, which is business. But we have to be very, very vigilant, Chinchilla. For, you know, just like News Forum is every single week, the spirit and the embodiment of Beverly Nation, old school charter. We have to give this, these nutrients to these people. We have to build and give them the sustenance to fight another day. And now back to Chinchilla J and final thoughts from your outstanding guest.
Okay, and I wanted to ask Brother Corin, I wanted, you're still on, please go to my Facebook page and send me an inbox, and also write down my phone number, 844-642-8378, extension 888. Call me tomorrow, please, between 11 and 7, 11 a.m. and 7 p.m. I would love to talk to you more and find out about your organization and all of that as well, so definitely give me a call tomorrow. Hit me up on Facebook, on my Facebook page. Wow.
You got another call, Chinchilla. You know how it is, man. The things go on, man. It's radio. Call on.
Yeah.
You're on the line right now with Chinchilla J.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. I thought because I pressed 1, it actually was activated, but it wasn't activated, so I heard him say, we about to go to Ngozi time zone. So I pushed it again and said, you are now in the HQ. And he said, hey, guess who came to dinner? Your true friend, Willard Guy. And oh, my God. Hey, what's up, Captain? I hear you in the background. I heard what you were saying a little bit because I came on the show kind of late. But I also heard something that was being said of the measures. And one thing I want to say, just to be ignorant, I always got to be. Some of these people out here, right, that might be highly famous, their family might be like Chef A.R.D. or John Wanamaker's sons. And matter of fact, if they listen to the show, hey, how y'all doing? They were divided for the military academy with me. I got the personal cell phone number, but somebody stole the damn phone book when I was taking a shower. So I'm mad because I can't call them. But they know who the hell I am. But if you look at it in a different perspective, what happens if those people, right, their kids, don't know how to associate themselves with people with a lower common denominator? The other problem is, do they get held accountable because they never was taught to respect a person with a lower common denominator? The other problem is, when are we allowed to become truly equal? I don't care what color you is. Okay, what you did in your life in the past, the present, is the truth. The truth, or I should say, is the truth will set you free, or the truth, I don't know. Anyway, but looking at that, it makes me realize we being captivated every day. We being taught to not love each other anymore, but disrespect each other and become more apart than close. The only reason why I'm saying this is because I went on YouTube and I go on YouTube, I put up new movies, new full movies 2021, and I pull up new full movies 2022. And I saw this movie that said Virus 2025. The movie looked corny because I couldn't watch it. But the very beginning, they said illegal is meetings, illegal is Christianity. And they say communism will be like part of the new American way and the way of the world. Communism. Now, people, if y'all listen to what y'all heard tonight, what would you feel like living in communism where you don't even have freedom of speech and you got to do what they say do? I don't give a darn if you had a family or not. If they want to kill them, they'll try to kill them. But we got to sit up there and get ourselves together where we stop looking at somebody like, I can't be your friend no more because you had COVID. I can't be your friend no more because you got the flu, Rona. And all of it is a cap up to make y'all not become one accord. It's a cap up to make y'all be more, how you say, crabs in the barrel. It's a way to make y'all don't trust nobody. Now, you're not supposed to trust nobody, but, you know, could God say that anyway? But you really have to have some type of spirit. You got to know them by their fruit, but you got to have some type of spirit in you to say, hey, maybe they had a bad day. Maybe there's something's going on. Let me find out who you are so I know who I'm rolling with. And if you know who you're rolling with, you shouldn't have no problem. Now, we are going to get played. You all going to get punked. You're going to be used back. But if we could just stick together, stop acting like we freaking nuts. Because somebody might have a, you know, imagine this. Somebody say, yeah, I heard you was in jail and this, that, and the other. And then you treat them as whatever. And then later on you find out they was innocent. But you don't even got the audacity or the authority to say, look, I apologize. Matter of fact, I'm going to tell all the people that I told all these lies on you that I was wrong. Because you don't want to feel like a nut that you are. So, yeah, lady, kill the game, and your brother definitely destroyed the game. Because y'all making statements tonight. God, I can't even curse.
Well, Brother Will, I thank you so much for calling in tonight and putting your two cents in, and you done took it to some other places there, but it's all good. And definitely, we definitely need to start looking out for each other. And, you know, and as Brother Jamal said, we definitely have to make sure that our communities get involved and that they fight, you know, for what's right and fight for their communities and the safety in their communities. And so I thank you for calling in tonight, Brother Will. Jamal. Back to you now. I want you to give your final thoughts tonight on, you know, the topic at hand. What are your final thoughts for tonight? And, again, let everybody know what you would like to accomplish as you approach Governor Wolf's home tomorrow around noonish. What are your hopes in accomplishing that journey?
Okay, first I want to say that I truly respect my brother Colwin that was on earlier, and I understand what he means about going to the slave master's house and asking him about what's going on. The bottom line is this: our kids are dying in the street, and despite what we might want to have happen in the future, in the present, it's not happening. And because it's not happening, I'm seeking some type of remedy to stop the blood flowing in the streets right now. That does not mean that I expect to do what I do later, because I'm hoping that by the time we stop the blood, the people who are supposed to be fixing this problem, or at least minimizing it, will do their work, and we don't have to worry about this. But on the interim, we have got to stop the killing, the carjacking, the robberies that are going on in Philadelphia. At least we have to bring them down to some kind of civil number. Right now, it's just out of control. And that's why I advocate for the National Guard. I do not want a military group standing on my corner from now to the time I die. But I do not also want my grandson or my granddaughter to get shot in the street because no people that are living on that block are coming out to at least monitor their community. So, I mean, until we are willing to do the work, somebody's got to do it. And if you're not willing to do it, and I'm not speaking about anybody in particular, but I'm saying if we're not willing to do it, then we have people that we do pay with our taxes that can do it for us. That's just the way I feel. And I'm not saying my way is the best, but it's the way I'm taking. And Governor Wolf, is, to me, is the lever to try to push that issue.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much, Jamal, for being my special guest tonight and sharing why you do what you do and continue to do what you do, you know, because it's needed. Because I think what you're doing, it's definitely making a statement that you are willing to go to such great lengths to get something accomplished for this city, for the young people here, and to make our communities safe. So I really appreciate you for that. And I think earlier this month, or I think last week, or about a week or two ago, Governor Wolf, he came to Philly and announced that he was going to be, well, that $15 million will be distributed throughout the state to, you know, combat gun violence. And as far as what portion of that will be going to Philadelphia, I don't know. I know Philadelphia got lots of money last year, whole heck of a lot, and has funneled that money to different organizations. And I'm waiting to see what they're going to have in place different than what's been in place already. And that's going to be very interesting to see. So we want to make sure that we keep this city in prayer and keep all of the inner cities throughout this country in prayer. Tonight we just basically, we concentrated more so on Philadelphia, but in the months to come, we will definitely talk about other cities as well, because it's not just here, as I said before, Houston, Ohio, Columbus, Indianapolis, and, you know, so many other cities are experiencing an influx in gun violence, and it's just such a sad situation. And it needs to be something done across this country to combat it. And if we can get it under control in one city, hey, it should be able to work in other cities as well. And it would be great for Philadelphia to start some type of model that works. That works, and that's getting the guns off the street, getting the young people off the street, getting them into some productive activities that will make them productive in society and an asset to their communities, and that will make our communities safe as a whole. So thank you so much, Jamal. I thank all of you that have called in tonight to share tonight with us. Right now we're going to go into Ngozi time, and then I will be right back, everybody, with my final thoughts for tonight.
Well, first of all, I want to thank all the folks out there that counted that robbery to talk about this wonderful conversation. It's wonderful because we save lives. That's what Only Dimes is all about. We're here to touch people and change people. Enough said. Congratulations to the 2021 Sonya Griffin Award-winning Linear New Host of the Year on her 42nd all-time connection record and third consecutive. And tomorrow night, we'll be back on with Ricardo Rashad and Trenton Makes. Devination is advertising to Oni, which is all about Deli and Ngozi Enterprise. Reach us, of course, at www.lookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as Ngozi Primetime 1 at bevnet.com. We're Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. Ola Deli and Ngozi appearance at Google+. Ola Deli and Malou Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, News Forum, as well as the historic Deli Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions, or welcome for programming tonight, Olay Delay. That goes with myandgmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Dudley Malay Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And starting tomorrow will be Beverly Nation Anniversary Week, culminating with Sister Bessie the Truther and Front Porch on the actual day of our birth and the day that my mother translated to glory. February 4th, 2022, the day she passed, of 2003. It'd be 9 years on the radio for us at Beverly Nation. We want to thank all the folks out there that love us and continue for our commitment to excellence. And now, back to our anchor of our network, Chinchilla J, at this time. 3 minutes left to go on the program.
Thank you so much, Brother O. Again, I want to thank my special guest tonight, Jamal Johnson, SKU, Stop Killing Us. And I also thank Caroline Turner, my dear friend, criminal defense attorney and wrongful conviction attorney, for joining us tonight. And I thank Willis Anthony for calling in tonight and listening to the entire show. And next week at 9:30 p.m. right here on News Forum, Willis Anthony will be my special guest to tell his story about his wrongful conviction. He's been wrongfully incarcerated now for 7 years in a Louisiana state penitentiary. So we will be hearing from him next Sunday night. This upcoming week, everybody, I invite you to tune in to Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls on Wednesday at 8 p.m. You can find that on the Mike Test Entertainment TV's page. That's M-I-C-T-E-S-T Entertainment TV. You can find it there. Also on my personal page, it will be live streamed there as well, and to some other pages on Facebook. Then on Thursday, we have Nightmares Beyond Prison Walls podcast that we will have Curtis Crossland on telling his story of what it's like since he's been exonerated and what it was like behind the walls. And then right back here Sunday night, of course, at 9:30 p.m., I invite you all to donate, to be a voice in Right the Wrong Coalition. If you feel as though that the work I do for advocating for justice in this country is something worthwhile donating to, by all means, donate to be a voice, everybody. You can donate via Cash App by donating to $ be a voice. So that's $ BEVOICE TOUR, TOUR, $ be a voice tour. Also, you may donate via Venmo, and the Venmo account is at Be a Voice. So the at sign, BEAVOICE. So donate today. Don't delay. Help us to keep these platforms going, because the more people that we're able to provide exposure for, guess what? The more people we can help set free that have been wrongfully incarcerated or in prison since they've been a teenager, and now they're 40 years old, and all kinds of ungodly injustices that go on throughout this country each and every day. So I thank you all for tuning in tonight. Thank you to all the callers, and we will see you next week, same time, same place. And remember to always be a voice on purpose. I am Chinchilla Jonesia. Take care and good night.